This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Uplift Desk. In today's work environment, it's essential to find balance and promote well-being, and Uplift Desk is here to make that a reality. With a focus on ergonomics and innovative design, Uplift Desk offers standing desks that not only encourage healthier work habits, but also enhance your overall productivity. Each desk is built with unmatched stability and quality, ensuring that your workspace is both dynamic and durable. The beauty of Uplift Desk lies in its extensive customization options, allowing you to select from a vast array of desktops and accessories to fit your specific work needs and aesthetic preferences. Additionally, Uplift Desk is committed to customer satisfaction, offering fast shipping, free returns, and a 15-year warranty. Transform your office and your health by visiting UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting for 5% off your order. That's UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your entire order. With Uplift Desk, you're not just investing in a piece of furniture, you're investing in a healthier, more productive future. Again, go to UpliftDesk.com/timecrafting to get 5% off your order today. Welcome to A Productive Conversation. It's me, Mike Vardy, and I am joined by perhaps my most frequent collaborator on podcasts outside of Michael Schechter, and it's my friend Patrick Roan. I've known Patrick for a long time. He's written books like Enough and Minimal Mac, and he is a true renaissance man, I guess, is probably the best way for me to put it. But we always have great conversations, and not all of them get recorded. They probably all should, because there's a lot of great insights that come out of them. And if you've heard him on the program before, all you have to do is, if you're subscribed, go back and listen to some of the ones from the archives. This is one that I thought I'd bring to the fore, because every one of them, you know, there's some gold in there. There's this phrase that I throw around quite a bit, and I always credit Patrick for it. Saying no is saying yes to other things. As a matter of fact, it's funny. I think I said this during my Creative Live course or class a few years ago, and people accredited it and attributed it to me, but it's not me. It was Patrick that said it. So he really gets boundaries. He's really, he's just a great guy, and I'm glad I can bring this conversation back up for you. So here it is, an episode from The Vault, Patrick Roan on A Productive Conversation. Enjoy.
So, how have you been? I'm recording, by the way, just so you know.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's a complicated question. So, here's the thing. When you're head down into a project for a significant period of time, when you finally get the project finished, and we'll talk about finishing a project, by the way, in a sec. But once you get the project finished, and you've shirked so many other projects and responsibilities for the sake of this one for so long, your head comes up out of it, and suddenly it's like, okay, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do with myself if I'm not working on this thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. And so I think it takes a little while. I think that's the one thing we don't plan for, especially when it comes to big projects, that we don't plan for providing the period in between where you're a little bit lost.
Yeah.
And where you need to kind of get your normal rhythm back.
Yeah, you almost need like a recovery period, or just re-indoctrination of sorts. Like you're coming, you know, it's like when, you know, when astronauts go to space and they come back to Earth, and I mean,
they can't walk.
Yeah, I'm being reductive, but yeah, you know, I mean, it's funny. I'm about to head into that phase myself, you know, where I'm working on a deep project. Possibly now, the interesting thing is, there's going to be two deep projects that I'm going to basically have to alternate between, which might be even more I think that might be easier, to be honest, because it's not like digging super, like I'll be digging deep into both, but I've got them structured in a way that allows me to say, okay, on this day I work on this day I work on this kind of thing, which is how I've been practicing with my reading. You know, my reading workflow has been very much on this day I read this book and on this day I read this book, which has kind of helped me for this next phase of creation. But yeah, I could, it's like even after travel, right? Like, I mean, I'm going on a trip as we're recording this. I leave for a trip next Tuesday and I'm gone from the 16th of February until the 1st of March. Oh, wow. You know, and I'm traveling from the West Coast. Nice. Yeah, the trip is West Coast to East Coast, back to West Coast, up north, then home.
All in Canada?
No, it's a quick stop in LA, like an overnight, just because of the way the flights worked out. You know, I don't want to leave first thing in the morning. So I'm overnighting in LA. Then I fly from LA to Washington, D.C. to attend the Dad Summit. And then from there, I take the Bolt bus to New Jersey to spend a couple days in Jersey. And then I fly from Jersey to Vancouver, and then my family meets me in Vancouver, and we fly up to Whitehorse, which is in the Yukon, because there's a winter festival up there. Cheers. Yeah. I think I have a stop in Minneapolis along the way, like a layover, like a quick stop layover in Minneapolis, because it's Delta. So Delta from Liberty to, but I, you know, I mean, I've kind of set up myself so that I can do that travel with all my, you know, my fundamental stuff that needs to be done in advance. I tend to do that. But when you're finished traveling, it's like you need, my wife's even said this, she says, you need like 3 or 4 days just to not do anything.
And just to kind of re-enter back into the real world.
Yeah. Jet lag aside, like, I mean, that's not going to be the issue. It's going to be the, okay, now what? Especially as I've been prepping for, like, all the stuff I've been prepping for is all the fundamental stuff. While I'm traveling, I'll be working on my book and my, you know, working on the Now Year stuff. And then when I get back, you know, then it's family time. Then it's, yeah. So it becomes this, there'll be no coaching calls during that time. So yeah, so the project you just finished is the big book, right? Isn't it?
No.
Oh, that's not done. That's not done yet.
No, the big book is what got pushed aside for this.
Right.
No.
Well, this is the house thing then, right?
Yeah, exactly. So that's the hilarious thing, right? Like, this isn't like some, you know, big, you know, money-making endeavor. You know, this isn't something that's going to, well, I suppose in a sense it is, but, you know, this isn't something that's going to, like, you know, be a hallmark of my career or really put me on the map as a writer. You know, this isn't like any of that stuff. This is rehabbing a house.
Yeah, it's completely off the, not off the grid, but it's off.
It's off what, you know, I think people who know me, who know you, who know the circles we travel in, you know, when we talk about, like, you know, big projects, we're talking about books or conferences or this, that, and the other. And, you know, here I am with this kind of real physical labor sort of thing.
Right.
So do you know the story behind the house?
I've seen bits. I've seen you talk about it. It's been a while since we've talked, but I've seen it. I've seen your updates on social media. You basically went from a house that needed a ton of work. It was a house you just purchased, wasn't it?
Well, yeah. Well, we actually purchased it about 4 years ago.
Right.
And got kind of the big rocks.
Yep.
Out of the way first, the big rocks in the house being the mechanicals, electrical, and plumbing, right? So, like, you know, the HVAC and all that stuff. And then kind of lost momentum after that for a variety of reasons, not the least of which is that rehabbing houses and building stuff and handyman sort of stuff. It's just not my expertise. It's not my, not anything.
I hear you there.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I hear you there. And
like not knowing kind of how to proceed or who to hire or what, and whether or not we could afford hiring anyone or whatever. It just all kind of stopped me in my tracks. Fast forward to around end of September, beginning of October. And, a good friend of ours who actually did the plumbing work on the house because he's a plumber said, hey, my brother Kerry is kind of a handyman general contractor and he's in between jobs right now. Now, in this area, finding a good handyman or contractor is like finding a vein of gold.
Yeah.
Right. There are plenty of them. They're just always so busy. And that was part of the issue as well. And so I said, let me talk to him, And so Carrie came over and took a look. And he's like, we could totally do this together. So, especially if it's you and me. And, if you're kind of working alongside, I can show you how to do some stuff and you'll learn something. And hey, I'll have some business here when I'm in this weird down period. And it was a win-win for everybody. And so basically that set up suddenly at the end of September, unplanned as part of my kind of year, that this was going to be my full-time job for at least the next 3 to 4 months. And that's exactly what happened. I literally was working 8 to 10 hours a day, every day, including weekends, on this. And we took a house that we purchased for $7,200. And all told, probably put at the, we haven't crunched the final numbers, but I'm guessing $45,000 to $50,000 into it. And its sitting value right now is about $120,000.
Wow.
And we're not going to sell it. We're going to own it, because everyone needs three houses, I suppose. And don't even get me started on the second one. So we're going to, we've rented it out. We've got a lovely young lady who's a daughter of a longtime friend of ours staying there, and she's got a roommate with her, and they've got a fantastic bargain on a house that they can rent that's close to a hospital, because she's planning on studying to become a nurse, and she's hoping to get her residency at that hospital that literally is a block away. And so it's a win-win for everybody. Incredibly rewarding. Certainly something that now I won't be so, afraid of. And in fact, I kind of miss it in a way. There's something very nice about working on something that tangible.
Mm-hmm. Like a physical thing as opposed to digital. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because even when you're writing a book, you'll get a print copy of it, and that'll be right. That's the next, probably the next phase of, but to build something. I've been thinking, I've been reading about Nathan Barry and how he took up woodworking. That was one thing that I've been thinking about doing something like that. Nathan Waldman's tiny house. I mean, even though we have taken over the basement in our house and I have an office down here, I mean, every time my mother-in-law comes to visit, one of the kids gets displaced a little bit, right? Because we only have a total of 4 rooms that people could sleep in, or 3 rooms plus my office. So I've always kind of still hinted to Anne that we should maybe look at still building an outdoor office for me, or someplace where we could, even an outdoor, sleeping area for somebody if they wanted to come by, something like that.
Yeah.
And she's still very hesitant about that, but I keep thinking about it, because we have this corner of our lot. We don't have a big lot. We have this corner of our lot that basically sits unused. And I mean, we could build under 100 square feet. We don't need a permit to do that. Just build something there that's nice and tiny. And if you build a loft in it, then you could have a place for somebody to sleep if you wanted to. But that could be my office. Or, that kind of thing, it's still something that I've wanted to work on. With someone, obviously with somebody experienced. But you always hear this, and I guess this is probably something we can discuss, is the whole trading. I don't mow my lawn as much as I used to, because somebody else who really likes mowing lawns will do it for me instead, and I can write during that time. But there is something, I think, to be said for picking and choosing those spots, especially when it comes to something that is like what you just did. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And what's hilarious about what you're saying is that, now that I'm in this period where I don't have this sort of thing to work on, I've actually been kind of thinking through the same thing. that space back there would make a lovely little writing cottage.
Yep.
And let's see, you know, and literally, so now that I have the experience and I kind of know how to build these things and to build them properly and kind of know how easy and how difficult it is, you know, but I at least kind of know the pieces of it and kind of know the cost. I sit back and, you know, think to myself, yep, we could do it like this and I could do that and I could save money this way. And wow, oh, you could do this, you know. And, you know, I pretty much have put this thing together in my mind for about $1,000.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Probably a little bit over that, probably about $2,000 when it was, you know, all said and done. We always underestimate these things. But, you know, because you never just stop at the...
This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Shopify. Dreaming of starting your own business or looking to take your current one to the next level? Shopify is here to make that dream a reality. As the leading e-commerce platform, Shopify empowers you to start, grow, and manage your business with ease. From setting up your online store to scaling globally, Shopify provides all the tools you need to succeed in the marketplace. Customize your storefront, manage your inventory, and connect with your customers all in one place. With direct-to-consumer pricing, same-day shipping, and a global community of entrepreneurs, Shopify supports your journey at every step. Are you ready to transform your business idea into a success story? Visit shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial and embark on your entrepreneurial journey with Shopify. That's shopify.com/timecrafting to start your free trial. Do it today. This episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by Prolon. If you've ever considered fasting for its health benefits but can't face the idea of days without food, Prolon offers a novel solution. It's a nutrition program that simulates the effects of fasting while allowing you to eat. Developed by scientists at the USC Longevity Institute, Prolon supports weight management, enhances physical performance, and bolsters gut health through a meticulously crafted 5-day meal program. This isn't just another diet. It's a lifestyle change backed by Nobel Prize-winning research, designed to trigger cellular rejuvenation and promote overall well-being. I can't wait to put it through the paces. The meals, ranging from savory soups to nutritious snacks, are all designed to ensure your body achieves a fasting state with the energy you need to maintain your daily routine. Prolon is convenient, providing everything in a single box delivered to your doorstep. I am anxiously awaiting mine. I encourage you to check out Prolon as well. If you're ready to see how Prolon can change the way you think about fasting and nutrition, then right now, Prolon is offering A Productive Conversation listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/timecrafting. That's prolonlife.com/timecrafting for this special offer. Head over to prolonlife.com/timecrafting to get started today.
You don't stop at just framing out the shed.
No, you, yeah. I mean, you're,
you're like, oh, I need some bookshelves.
Right. Oh yeah. No, I would want, like, I could tell you right now, I would want an entire wall of bookshelves, like just an entire wall. I'd go with a standing desk built right in, like a fold away. So you could fold it down if you wanted to. I would go with, I have the ideal one in my head. You know, and I've always been looking for it, and it's just a matter of, you know, and there's lots of places where you can get like reclaimed windows and things like that. But then the concern is, well, does it get too cold? Do you want to use for, you know, like, so you get, I mean, but it's something that's been in my head for a while and it hasn't gone away. Even after we did the renovations, my wife's like, finally, he's going to be happy with his office. I do like my office. Don't get me wrong, but it's like, you know,
she should have known better.
She should have known better. She's like, oh man, unless she does something with that corner while I'm traveling, I'm still going to come back and see it every single, you know. And then there's other things, like we were at yesterday, you know, we're recording this on like early February. Yesterday was a holiday in British Columbia called Family Day, and they have it across Canada. Ours just happens to be the second week of February, where everywhere else in Canada is the third week of February, which is just weird. But we went to out to Sydney, which is a place that's close to where the ferry drops people off as they're coming from the mainland. It's a very sleepy town, a lot of retirees. And you know, we're, there's, it's near where the airport is. And there was this like kind of trade show of sorts to highlight what Sydney has to offer. And there's the Victoria Flying Club. Now, the other day, and again, this is, I think this is interesting because I want to talk a bit about your book too, The Mindfulness for Mere Mortals, because I just finished reading it as well. But I've been thinking about like a friend of mine who I used to work for. He flies. He's a licensed pilot. And this past weekend, he said, "I want to fly to Nanaimo for breakfast. Anyone who wants to pitch in $5 or $10 for gas, we'll do it and we'll come back." And I missed, like, you know me, I'm not a morning person. So I totally missed the cut, but it got me thinking, that's pretty awesome that you could fly to Nanaimo, like land at the airport, go to breakfast and then get back in your plane. Because it's only about an hour and a half drive, but to fly there, it'd be like 20 minutes, right? Yeah. So I thought, you know, I've been thinking, I have flown a plane before with him I've been up in his plane before and with my daughter, this before Colton was born, and my wife were in the back, and he actually gave me the stick for a while, and I got to fly the plane. It was pretty cool. And I thought, you know, I've thought about that before. Now it's not, now keep in mind, learning to fly is not cheap. No. But I was at this trade show and we're walking around and lo and behold, who's got a booth there or a table there, but the Victoria Flying Club. And I thought, you know, I'm going to pick up their information now. So I have it because it's going to cost, I think it costs like $5,000 for the full, which is not a lot. Like it's a lot of money
it's not unattainable.
It's not unattainable. Right. And you get trained in a Cessna and all that stuff. And then, you know, and it's funny because my wife's like, better make sure our life insurance will, you know, you avoid our life insurance if you start to fly a plane. I'm like, I don't know. We'll have to look into that. But anyway, it's just like those thoughts come to mind and they fall completely outside the realm of what you and I like are what we talk about online, like you saying about building, you know. And I mean, the same thing with the working out I've been doing, the Whole 30, which Courtney Carver turned me on to. I'm on day 22 now.
You guys are crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm on day 22. No, but seriously, I've lost. I had to go. I got a physical done, and the doctor, he accidentally told me how much. And it was last week. I got a physical done, and I was halfway through the program, and he told me, he goes, "Oh, you weigh 183 pounds." When I started, I weighed 198. I lost 15 pounds in basically 15 days. Now, again, I went from like beer, barbecue, soda pop, all that stuff to like just whole, like no legumes, no dairy, no gluten, no nothing, and no processed foods. And that's how much weight I lost. And now I'm doing this program for the Dad Summit. They call it the Smarty Pants Vitamins is doing it with a coach I know in Vancouver. And I'm on day 4 of that today. And I'm seeing some results. So, but I don't normally, I mean, I haven't tweeted much about it. I've Facebooked privately about it, but I think you get to a point where the stuff that you do that's the big thing, like the thing you're known for, it's nice to pepper it with the stuff that you're not really known for.
Wow. Okay. I'm glad you brought that up. We'll get to the, like the
sure. Yeah. But I think stuff. It relates to mindfulness for sure. But
yeah,
anyway.
Well, but here's something I've been trying to wrestle. I've been wrestling around in my head with kind of how to put out there and where it belongs. But this idea that sometimes you need to build things and do things kind of offline and private that no one's going to see.
Yep.
You know, don't just like, so, boy, this is going to get out there. People are going to go looking for it. But like, so I've been like writing this newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
That nobody knows about.
I'm going to say, I haven't seen a newsletter.
Because it's got no subscription. It's no subscribers, right? I'm doing it just to see kind of how, like, if I were to make this a regular part of my life, how would this look? What would I do with it, you know? And the reason I haven't put it out there is because it keeps being, like, other people's newsletters, and I don't necessarily want that, right?
Right, right.
You know? But there's so many great newsletters that I read on a regular basis and I admire, and they can't help but kind of seep into my consciousness. And so
name some yeah. For some people who are listening, like name. Oh, some.
Okay. So Austin Kleon's newsletter where he sends out every Friday, he sends out 10. Mm-hmm.
I subscribe to that one too.
Sort of links. And that's great. God, what's his name? Matthias. Oh geez, I'm gonna screw up the poor guy's name, but what I really like about his newsletter, hold on, I'm looking it up in the mail app. But what I really like about his newsletter, it's Matthias Jacobson, and the name of his newsletter is Think Clearly. And what I love about his newsletter is it's all handwritten and drawn.
Cool.
So basically, he takes a page of a large moleskin and just does one short thing on there and scans it in and sends that out.
That's cool.
And it's different. It's just wonderful. It's just this wonderful dose of greatness, you know, every week. You know, Garrick Van Buren's Expand newsletter, which is a subscription newsletter, but the really neat thing is Garrick tweets regular kind of ideas out on Twitter, and based upon whatever idea for the week gets the most retweets and likes and favorites and whatever else, hearts, whatever we're calling it these days, he counts all those up, and whichever one gets the most, he expands on that topic. So, you know, it's kind of just a general 140-character idea, but he then goes on to write 3 or 4 or 5 paragraphs about.
I imagine James Shelley is probably on your list, too.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, James Shelley's I can never pronounce it right, the Caesura letters.
Yeah.
Has long been, you know, at least when it was daily, it was every day, every morning, I'd pretty much start my day with it.
Mm.
But he's, I got to warn people about him because he's so
deep,
smart and deep and intellectual,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. You know,
and a lot of the stuff he writes about is like stuff from like the Roman philosophers and, you know, things like
but
that.
But it's interesting because he's, before Ryan Holiday started writing and Tim Ferriss started writing about this stuff, James was writing about it.
Yeah, James was writing about
it years ago.
Years before Tim Ferriss got on the whole
Seneca and all that stuff,
and Marcus Aurelius and such. You know, James Shelley was writing about that stuff years and years ago.
Yep.
So yeah, he's great. I mean, so my point being is this: I've been writing one. I've now written several.
Mm-hmm.
I've never sent them. No one has subscribed to it. You can go subscribe to it if you can find it, but you could probably take some guesses.
Yeah.
But, you know, as to what service and, you know, stick my name at the end of it, you'll find it and you'll subscribe. But I'm not pressing send on anything. And I guess I want to wrap back around to my point, which is I do it to experiment.
Yeah.
Just to play around with the idea of like, if I did this, what would it look like? Maybe if I stumble upon something, yeah, this feels good. This feels right. Oh, yeah. Okay. There could be a thing here. Then I'll like announce it and send it out and give it a shot or whatever. But you need that time to just play without an audience, to just work stuff out, you know, to just build stuff for the sake of building it, for the sake of practice, for the sake of just saying, I don't know what this looks like. I think we're so quick in this world to launch and to share and to ship and to, you know, get it out there that oftentimes we put things out there that are half-baked, or we put things out there that we're kind of, that could have been better if we had just allowed some time to play.
Yeah, we're quantity over quality in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so
it's funny. Have you read Adam Grant's new book, Originals, yet?
No,
you should. There's a lot of what you touched on there, like the idea of, as soon as you mentioned Matthias's newsletter, I'm like, oh, that's totally what Adam Grant would talk about in Originals. I mean, if you've read Give and Take, right? I've not read it, but I know Cal Newport's talked about Adam Grant a number of times, and I know you like Cal's work too. So.
Yeah, no, I haven't. I'm sorry to say
it's brand new. It's only come out. I just read it. That's one of the things I've really been focusing on doing. It's funny. I was talking to my daughter about this as we were walking to school today, and we were just talking about. And I've written about this too, and even spoken on my Patreon edition of the podcast about the idea that like TV, I mean, once the football season ended and even before that, I was whittling my TV time down to, you know, under 10 hours a week. And I mean, that to me was a big deal because there were times where I was watching more of it because it was just, it was there and it was on and about. Like I would watch pro wrestling and stuff like that. And then now I just, I have it when, if I ever want to watch it, I can, but I've been more deliberate about that. And I've been reading a lot. I have, as of this recording, I have read 10 books since the middle of January.
Gosh, I'm so jealous.
But it's because I had, but the only way you can do that though, and this is something that, that people are like, well, how do you find time? Like you let go of other things.
Yeah, you say, you make the time.
You make the time. You say, okay, you know what? I am going to, and you set up barriers or parameters that kind of push you in that direction. So like, for example, in your book, you talk about the idea of, you know, meditation's mindfulness for mere mortals. When you talk about meditation, yes. And I've been using Headspace for about the past 6 days straight. I've used it off and on before, but lately I've been doing it because meditation's part of this program I'm doing. And I have gotten in the first 4 days, I felt so much better. I felt great after every single time, but on the fourth day I'm using Headspace, so it's guided. He says, let your mind wander. And my brain's like, got nothing to wander to. Like the brain is literally starting to train itself to focus on the moment, on the breath, on that stuff. And I think one of the things that people, you know, I mean, for me, I think that idea of capturing stuff as it comes to you, not when you're in meditative state, but when you're not in a meditative state, is so critical so that you can actually be mindful and meditate. Because I can sit, and it's the same thing with reading. I can sit and meditate now, and if something comes to mind, it's something I've already recorded somewhere in all likelihood, like the idea in your book you talk about the Facebook RSVP. That's right. Already been recorded somewhere. Like yeah. That's already down in Todoist or Asana or wherever the hell you're going to put it. Yeah.
And that was the whole point.
Sure. I mean,
this episode of A Productive Conversation is sponsored by 1Password. Imagine a world where forgetting passwords is no longer a hassle and your digital security is uncompromised. 1Password offers a robust, intuitive solution to manage all your passwords with just one master password, safeguarding your information across every device. This isn't just any password manager. It's a comprehensive security tool that encrypts your data, ensuring only you have access. With 1Password, you can generate strong, unique passwords for each of your accounts, store sensitive information securely, and even share important logins with family or colleagues safely. Recognized by Wirecutter as the top pick for password managers, 1Password is the preferred choice for enhancing your online security without the complexity. Enhance your digital security by visiting 1Password.com. And we have a special offer for listeners of A Productive Conversation. Right now, listeners of A Productive Conversation get a free 2-week trial at 1Password.com/productive convo. That's 2 free weeks at 1Password.com/productive convo. 1Password.com/productive convo. Check out what 1Password can do for you, your business, and even your family today.
You know, of Dave, of GTD. I mean, at its very basis, yep. The idea was to clear your head of all this stuff so that your head has the time, the room to breathe, as it
yep.
were.
Yep. Yeah. And so for reading, I just said, I want to read more. Okay. How do I make that happen? Well, I'm going to read I know I get bored easily. By one book. So how do I do it? Well, what if I read alternating books on given days? Okay. My wife's like, you should read some fiction. I'm like, I'm not ready for fiction yet. I don't really like, I enjoy reading fiction, but that was the thing, like, and she's the opposite of me. She says, I can't read nonfiction because she went to university and that's all she read for a long period of time was right. Nonfiction.
My wife is the same way. She reads to escape. And so she doesn't read to learn. She reads to escape.
And I read to learn. So I said, well, if I have two alternating books, so what I've done is I have in Todoist, I'll put like in my library, my paper library now has separated books I've read, books I haven't. And so I will have a book that's actively being read, which will have a bookmark in it. But the one that's next on the list, I just slightly slide out from the shelf. That's the one I know I'm going to read next. And I actually have in my task app, and this is, people are going to say that sounds really rigid, but I say read, like right now I'm reading Quiet by Susan Cain. Mm. And I just started reading You Are Not a Gadget by Jacob Lanier. So
both great.
Yeah.
Both fantastic.
So I'm halfway through Quiet. I just finished reading Chris Guillebeau's new book, Born for This. So the next one on the list was Jacob. And I actually have a task called read Jacob. And I have it, you know, reading is the mode that I need to be in to do it. And I want to read each at least for 25 minutes per night or per session, I guess, on this. But the other thing I have is I have an Audible book that is constantly going in the background. So like, that's the thing that I will read during dish time or whatever, when I'm walking to pick up the kids or when I'm walking back from picking up the kids. So I am essentially reading three books at a time, but they're segmented out in a way that makes them digestible. And, you know, on Audible, I can bookmark things. If like the Audible app has a thing where you can say, oh, I really like that point. You hit the bookmark button. Of course, on, you know, in paper books, I dog ear like crazy. And you know, if I'm reading, you know, I was reading your book, I highlight it. Right. So, yeah. I mean, I think that if you set up parameters and you make a concerted effort, like your intentions are, I want to read more, and then you carve out ways to pay attention to that, then you don't have to think about it as much. It just happens. Like my goal right. was to read 50 books this year. I've read 10 already.
Right.
So, I mean, if I keep up this pace and second week of February, if I keep up this pace, I'm going to hit close to 100 books.
Yeah. Well, but here's another thing about that I think, you know, people don't think about, you know, think about how many times you're in a checkout line, you know, you got the person with 100 groceries ahead of you, mm-hmm. you know, and you're maybe four or five of those people, and you know, you're going to be standing there a while and you pull out your phone.
Yep.
And you start checking the Facebook or the Twitter or the, you know, what have you.
Other people's stuff.
it's funny. So Mindfulness for Mere Mortals is a living book. It's a living guide. In other words, it's not done yet. The thing that you buy is like a portion of what it's going to eventually be. What you're buying now is you're buying the, you know, kind of the first third of it. And I plan on releasing updates as I write more stuff. And I've written more stuff and a new update will, you know, knocking on wood, come out towards the end of this week. But one of the things that I'm writing about is, the title of the next chapter is, are you down with OPP? Other people's problems,
yep.
Right? Because that's really what it comes down to, right? We want to go and read about other people's problems, whether that be, the person who's having a really bad day at work, or the person who's having a hard time with their kids, or, you know, the people that are dying in wars on the other side of the world, or, you know, the politicians who can't stop repeating the same phrase over and over again. You know, I mean, you know, these are all other people's problems that we're so attracted to because it allows us to avoid our own. No, but I digress. My local guy I follow on Twitter, he's a friend, Kevin D. Hendricks, actually wrote a book called 137 Books in 1 Year, How to Fall in Love with Reading. And it's chock full of just wonderful advice, kind of a lot of it head-slapping, no duh sort of stuff, but still head-slapping, no duh sort of stuff that you're not doing, right? Mm-hmm. Not you, Mike, but you and the general public, you know, that we generally don't do. You know, and one of the things he said was, well, instead of taking my phone with me everywhere, I replaced it with a book.
Yep.
Whatever book I was reading. You know, and that's why I tended to read a lot of like trade pack paperbacks, because in the winter I could stick it in my coat pocket and it mm-hmm. would fit, you know, and I could, if I'm in the grocery line, I'd take out my book and start reading. If I was, you know, at the car wash, while they're washing my car, I'd take in my book and start reading. You know, I'd go to the bathroom, my book would come with me. I would, you know, the book literally came with me everywhere, the same way we do with our phones.
Yep.
You know, how did I read 137 books in a year? Anytime I had the chance to read, I read. It's really as simple as that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, and I love that. You know, and you know, that's kind of the main takeaway. Replace your smartphone with a good book. Because if you know, if you're doing, you're probably doing that with your phone already. You may not even be conscious of you know, the amount of time you're spending there. But the same thing is true with meditation, right?
Yeah.
This is not something that you necessarily have to carve out a half hour, 20 minutes, an hour of your day.
No. Nope.
This isn't a yoga class that you're going to have to, like, you know, go to when it's happening. And, you know, I mean, all those things are great. I'm not knocking them. I'm just saying that, once again, are you stuck in a grocery line? Then you have 2 minutes to meditate.
Yeah.
Have, you know, and that's, you know, 2 minutes can be highly beneficial, especially in situations where you're normally stressed or anxious or impatient. 2 minutes can take all that and throw it all away.
By the way, when I read the grocery store stuff that you mentioned in your book, I kept thinking about the David Foster Wallace video that's on Vimeo called "For This Is Water," which is so good.
Yes, which is great.
I'm gonna put that in the show notes. Now, one of the things I want to mention is that I've been doing these Sunday morning walks since the start of the year, and it's funny, when I did them, I just wanted to go and get outside and clear my head. I didn't realize until probably the third time, that I was meditating. Like, I was literally walking, and it's because I was reading things like, I read Cal Newport's Deep Work, talks about Carl Jung going for his walks, Mason Curry's Daily Habits, which is another great book. They would go for their walk, and I'm like, this is something I should probably do. Well, what happened was, is that, you know, and I just walk around my neighborhood, and I know you have a beautiful neighborhood that you can walk around. Oh, I'm sure you do the same thing. But for me, I'm walking around, and I'd get home, and I'd think that only maybe 20 minutes have passed by. 40 minutes, an hour.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you just, as long, and all I have going on is my smartphone's in my pocket. I'm playing a music mix called Contemplation that has songs that have meaning to me. So they're my wedding song, my song that represents my daughter, my son, and then other ones that resonate with me. And that's what I do. And yes, thoughts come and go. Sometimes I will actually record an idea that may have come to mind, but I have the ability to do that really quickly by just going, you know, remind me to do this, and then that's it. So because we can do that, and it's not that, even with Headspace, as it's 10 minute meditations that I'm doing, but it doesn't feel like 10 minutes. It feels like it just doesn't.
Well, I mean, and that's, you know, one of the things I try to point out in the book is that, you know, at first, when you're first doing it, 10 minutes will seem like 10 hours.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's normal. That's okay. You know, I think that if there's any purpose to this book at all, is kind of trying to put across to people that, for instance, with the walking, right? Mm-hmm. There are many in the, you know, Buddhist community and the mindfulness community that would vehemently argue, no, that's not a meditation.
Right.
No. Because walking meditation is a very specific thing. And if you've ever been to Shazen at a Buddhist temple or, you know, a Buddhist space, you know, gathering, what have you, and they're doing walking meditation, it's kind of hilarious to watch, because it literally looks like a whole room of people who have gotten stuck in some slow motion warp. It's hilarious, right? I mean, because it is very slow, methodical walking where you're sensing every kind of, you know, you're trying to be in touch the same way that you're in touch with your breath as you're meditating. You're trying to be in touch with the bottoms of your feet and, you know, with the cadence of the feel of your arms. And I mean, it's just like people who have literally been trapped in like some sci-fi slow motion death ray, you know, and they will say, no, that's walking meditation, right? Well, there's degrees here, right? Yeah, sure. That is officially like walking meditation as prescribed by, you know, Buddhist teachers for eon. And then there's nothing.
Yep.
Right? So I'm not going to knock the guy who's taking a walk in his neighborhood, who's in touch with what's going on around him, who's just enjoying the surroundings and the feel of a beautiful day, or, you know, at the architecture as he's passing by, or the birds as they're singing in the trees, or the squirrels as they're playing around. Yeah, I'm not going to begrudge that guy, because the alternative is nothing, and that's in between that and the walking meditation, and that counts too.
I think so. And the last one, not this previous Sunday walk, but the one before, three deer in our neighborhood. I was walking and I literally was probably about 3 feet as I walked by because I wasn't totally paying attention. And I'm like, oh, there's 1, 2, 3 deer right there. And they're just calmly eating their thing. I mean, obviously there's been some invasion of their space. So they're like, yeah, we're coming into town to eat. And I watched them for a good 15 minutes. And
they're not doing the whole 30.
No, they're definitely not doing the whole 30. But one of the things that like Cal Newport talks about in Deep Work is the idea of productive meditation. He says that's what he would do, is he would go for a walk and think about his problems and do that stuff, or just focus on one problem, not a bunch, just one. And I think that's important. Now, I want to touch on something that when you were talking about like checking Facebook and stuff like that, when I was reading Originals, and I've read a few other books that talk about empathy as well. Do you think that checking Facebook and looking at that stuff, other than taking our minds off our own stuff, because it's easier in a lot of ways, it also is a way to possibly have a passive form of empathy towards the world? Like it's almost like an artificial, it's like a dose of
active.
Yeah, you think it's active?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know,
there's not much
I'm
you can,
not saying it is I
guess
all active.
I guess it can be. Yeah, I guess it can be. Like if somebody's having a rough day, you can message them on Facebook saying, oh, man, sorry to hear that things are rough. So I think that ultimately that some of this stuff on Facebook, not all, but allows humans to do to you know, express their empathy, which in some cases, well, it's the most human thing. One of the most human things we can do, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, and once again, that's something else I'm kind of addressing in this part of the book. Because I've actually, so the part of the book I've been working on here in Silence and Secret before releasing it to the world, knock, 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 at the end of this week. Mm-hmm. Keep saying that because I'm telling that to myself. is that kind of duality, right? That, I don't want to give the appearance I'm just knocking this stuff because I've seen lives saved.
Yeah.
No joke. Mm-hmm. People who were so depressed and so low and so sure that their life was over and nothing. And, someone, DM'd them, reached out, said, hey, shoot me your number real quick. Let's talk,
Yeah.
And, you talk to that person and, and that person, it kind of turned things around, helped to put things in a better perspective. And now they're not thinking of slitting their wrists, right? I mean, it sounds trite and it sounds like, oh, no, that never really was happening. But no, it's there.
Yeah,
I've seen
it. Yeah, I've seen it too.
And so, yes, as easy as it is to knock these things, it's also incredibly easy to look and see the connections and the good that they can do. And ultimately, what I'm arguing is to be careful of which one you're doing. Be careful, be mindful about why you're there and what you're looking for. Are you there to look for those opportunities that you can lend a hand, that you can reach out, that you can be a friend, that you can touch someone? Or are you there to just rag on the latest politician?
Or are you there because there's an opportunity to be there when it may not be the most opportune time for you to be there? Because that's the other thing is people go, well, maybe I should be on Twitter all the time because what if somebody's trying to, I'll follow the hashtag, whatever to make sure that it's very easy to stay in those places because, and I think other than empathy, I think the other reason that people go to this thing is because it gives them triggers. It gives them prompts to create action as opposed to looking inward to go, oh, that thing. I was just reading, and again, Blinkist is another great tool for getting books in quick digestible bits. So if you're somebody that's looking at your phone, grab Blinkist and read those because at least then you're getting like the kind of Cole's Notes of a book or Cliff's Notes rather. Sorry, Cole's Notes is Canada. Cliff's Notes of the book. And then you can decide if you want to buy it. This just happened with the Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow. I've not read that yet, but I read the Blink. I'm like, ooh, that's fascinating. There's step one of the brain and step two. And some of the stuff he's talking about is fascinating, but the idea of triggers of catalysts that kind of say, okay, you know what? I'm going to go on Facebook right now because I don't want to make a decision on what to do next, or I haven't made a decision. I haven't created this boundary. So now I'm just going to go on Facebook and see what's going on because it's the same thing with email. That will move me forward, but it may not move you forward in the direction that you want to go. Meditation, on the other hand, does the opposite.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and You know, but I think what meditation does is that it allows you to kind of step back, clear the mind, you know, clear the space in the same way that you need to kind of make that room after a big project to kind of figure out where you are and what's going on and kind of what the next thing is, that you kind of need that breathing space after a vacation. You need that breathing space every single day. You need that breathing space to be able to just stop doing anything and to just focus on your breath, or just focus on the sounds you hear, or just focus on anything other than the myriad of things calling for your attention, the myriad of things that you could be doing or should be doing or want to be doing. And just to say, none of that can't get solved right this second. And so I'm just going to clear my head to allow myself to be open when a solution comes. And that is incredibly freeing and powerful. And I think something that we are sorely missing in this world. And if I'm writing this book for anyone, it is for the person who believes that they just don't have the time, that they just don't have the capability, that they can't sit still for more than 5 seconds without feeling like their head's going to explode. And to let them know that not only can you, but if you can do it for 5 seconds, that's a start. That's something that has value. And then if you can do it for 5 seconds, maybe you can do it for 6. Maybe the next time you can do it for 7, that's a place you can build from.
I think that's an excellent place to end. Patrick, where can people find you and your book online?
Oh, wow. So patrickroan.com is the place to find me best, I suppose, these days. If you really want to get to everything, you can try patrickroan.net, but you really don't want to do that. You just want to come to patrickroan.com. You just want to look along the bottom there. I've got some useful things like a link to my books, a link to the Dash Plus system you may have heard a little bit about here and there. Go check it out. What I'm doing right now. I mean, it's all there. You just got to go and check it out.
Thanks again for joining me, Patrick. This has been awesome.
Oh, Mike, always a pleasure. And anytime, because, well, I have nothing else to do. I can't figure it out. Bye.
Thanks once again to Patrick for making so many appearances on this podcast and for being a great friend. You can check out this episode in greater detail, the links, all that stuff. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast436 to make that happen. And while you're there, subscribe to the show, or just do it right now from the phone or device that you're listening to. Maybe you have one of those iPods that still exist. You could do it from there as well. And that way you don't miss a single episode. You can find the past conversations with Patrick far faster, far simpler, by being a subscriber. And you won't miss a single episode of what's to come, which is another fresh one as we get closer to the end of the summer months here with Britt Frank. I'm looking forward to bringing that one to you next week. And I'm also looking forward to bringing you sponsors like the ones you heard on our podcast episode today. The conversation Patrick and I had, you would have heard a few of them. Well, you know, if you want to check out all the sponsors, go to productivities.com/podcast sponsors to check out all the sponsors of this podcast. That's it for this episode of this podcast. Until next time, I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive.